this board is charged with the duty of protecting the public. And I'd like to start with the consumer protection issues that this board deals with on a regular basis. And I'll start with where Mr. Otto left off about deposits. He is correct that right now there's nothing in Chapter 436 that tells us when pre-need money must be deposited. So to the extent I have that 80% and the state board goes looking for where it is, there isn't a state law that says it should be in the trust right now. Everyone assumes that it's going to get there. We pretend like it should be there, but there's nothing in Chapter 436 that says this must be deposited in the trust within X amount of days. Again, the assumption is just from the chapter. The other thing that we see on the from the consumer side is limitation on investments. This is something that we are dealing with now and have dealt with in the past. What can you do with money that someone is paid for a pre-need plan? What type of investments are proper? What type of investments are improper? We have some general trustee language in Chapter 436 that does govern investments, but what we've seen is that in reality and in practice, it just has not been able to help us really protect the industry. For example, right now, 436 funds have been used to invest in things like term life insurance. Is that a proper investment? When you have someone who is investing, the statute says that once you hit $250,000, you can use an independent financial advisor. Of course, the banks are regulated. A trustee is regulated. The seller is regulated. However, your independent financial advisors are not. Some of them may be under no one's regulation. So if they make a investment decision that is bad, or should they mishandle pre-need funds, there really isn't an entity in state government, and I almost believe federal government, that can really do anything about that. Some of the other concerns that the board has with Chapter 436 is disciplinary action. Right now, of course, the State Board of Embalmers and Funeral Directors can discipline funeral directors and embalmers for mispractice and misconduct in the industry. Excuse me. With a pre-need registrant and a pre-need seller, it's not as easy. First, and this is a very big concern for the board, we don't have all of the grounds that you normally have with almost every licensing division at the Division of Professional Registration. We don't have language that says we can discipline someone for fraud and misconduct. If you've been convicted of a crime, if you've been convicted of stealing $10 million from a pre-need fund, there is nothing in Missouri law that would allow the board to prohibit you from being licensed in Missouri. In fact, we would be required to grant the license. The disciplinary process also is very cumbersome in the state of Missouri. There is in your handouts from the board, I think it's a black folder, in the back of it there are two charts. I wanted to just briefly just explain what the disciplinary process is for funeral directors. The board gets a complaint on a funeral director. They investigate it. They find that cause exists for disciplinary action. They send it to the Attorney General's office. It goes through the Administrative Hearing Commission, comes back to the board for final disciplinary action, and that licensee can now be disciplined. 436, if I am a pre-need seller or provider, the board gets the complaint first. It then sends the information to the Division of Professional Registration. The division then sends that to an outside auditor for an independent audit. That audit comes back to the division for review a second time. The division then sends that to the Attorney General's office for a probable cause statement. That probable cause statement goes back to the division. If there is probable cause found, then that probable cause finding goes back to the board. The board is then required to hold a hearing with the registrant, and they have a 436 meeting. If the board determines after that meeting that there are grounds for taking some action against the seller, it goes back to the AG's office for the second time. After it goes back to the AG's office for the second time, it has to go to the Administrative Hearing Commission for the hearing process. It then goes back to the board, if they find cause for discipline, to finally take disciplinary action. Bottom line is that process is now taking us 2 to 5 years. If you have a registrant who is a bad actor in the state of Missouri is unable to take them out of the business with any kind of expediency at all.
Mr. Chairman.
One, I'd like for you to reiterate for the committee, if they're taken out, and they want to come back, what happens?
Right. Let's say we find you've just stolen $20 million. If you surrender your license to the board can take no disciplinary action. You then can go reincorporate, get a new name. You can add a 1 at the end of your name. ABC is now ABC1. The board is then required to relicense you simply because we have no grounds to deny a license.